Chapter 6. Freddy's during the day was like a drag queen's empty coffin. The life and joy normally there were absent. No flashing lights or loud thumping music. No sparkling outfits against sweaty skin. It was a husk. In fact, it was kind of a dump with the bright lights on. Ty led Jordan down the wood-paneled hallway. The shitty wall sconce between the two bathroom doors barely lit anything around it. The little bit extra light from around the corner made it easier for Jordan to see the bathroom signs. The typical stick figure man and woman had been spliced down the center, each half-glued to the opposite body figure, making two half-man, half-woman figures. This was still a bar, so even those socially inclusive signs were victims to genitalia graffiti and word balloon dialogue. The door creaked when Ty unlocked his office. It was marked private by a sign that had not received any inappropriate doodles. That door was pristine. Patrons knew better than to mess with Ty personally. There was a waiting area with a surplus steel desk and ugly, tattered seating. "What's with that look? I know this ain't the gentrified Bowery, but it's functional."
"No, it's not the office. I just can't believe I'm not going to see him again. We met here, you know."
Jordan's sorrow felt oddly at home in that decrepit excuse for a waiting room. Ty wasn't filled with sage advice. He let out a weak, "Yeah," and didn't contribute more. The security office was a renovated closet with an L-shaped counter for a desk and five monitors. Four of them were camera feeds inside the club. The fifth was mostly used for looking up internet porn. The chair was cheap and no one could ever call it comfortable. It bore the ass indentations of the bouncers and their chief of security, a giant man named Joshua. "The files aren't on tapes anymore. We have them on a schedule of digital files beginning when the club opens for employees and end at 4 a.m. Jordan found himself staring at the monitors while Ty clicked through the file trees looking for one from the previous night. The file popped up on one screen and Ty had hours of boring footage to fast forward through. Jordan's heart began to beat faster. The possibility of seeing Ari again, even on a screen, was affecting him. He didn't anticipate that. The determination of seeing Ari's final moments should have kept the anxiety at bay. The security office door was open, luckily. It wasn't fresh air, but it was better than stifling. The closet they were in probably wasn't up to construction code for an office. Jordan recalled the last time he felt confined. He was 10 years old and playing with Kevin Fuller. Kevin said he found his father's dirty magazines in the back of a closet. He told Jordy to go further back to pull them out. The boys heard the sound of the front door, which meant Mrs. Fuller was back from a corner store cigarette run. In a panic, Kevin shoved Jordy and closed the door. Perhaps if it had been his own closet where things were familiar and he didn't feel so damn guilty, young Jordy wouldn't have experienced his first panic attack from a tight space. But there he was, surrounded by another family's coats, hats, and boxes all reeking of stale Camel lights. "This is just boring stuff from the deliveries," Ty said while he zipped through the footage with the dial controller. In order to shake off the secret porn stash memory, Jordan leaned closer to the open door and inhaled deeply. He returned to the business of wanting to find anyone who had talked to Ari in the club. What deliveries? Ty's gaze unconsciously rolled off the monitor and drifted downward. It was a slight movement, but something Jordan noticed. Ty's fingers led up on the controller and the screen showed nothing of substance from the corner camera that had the widest view of the bar and dance floor. "You know, the liquor distributor, fresh fruit delivery for those poof drinks, and of course the bakery with your birthday cake." He paused. "I'm sorry, we never got to that part. It was a surprise." "There was a cake?" "Yeah, Ari arranged it for you. That vegan bakery on 9th. It's still in the walk-in if you want it."
"I'd like that, thank you."
Ty waited for a cue. He didn't know whether to keep scanning the surveillance or if Jordan wanted to see the cake instead.
"So..."
We can do that on the way out. I want to see this.
You know, could you just show me how to work that? You don't have to sit here. I can fast forward and rewind." Ty looked at his phone. He had several messages that required his attention anyway. He also needed to check in on the social feeds to see if the murder would kill business or create that morbid influx of curious people who want to see where someone died.
"You turn this way for forward, this way for back,"
Tab will toggle the cameras. It's pretty simple. Thanks. Jordan moved aside so Ty could exit the closet and go to the next door over, which was his personal office. The seat was warm and lumpy when Jordan's firm ass hit it. The timestamp on the monitor read 4:36 p.m. It was still a few hours from when people would have arrived for the party. He turned the dial clockwise, immediately realizing it was moving too fast for him to see who had flashed through the frames. After a few tests, moving the dial back and forth, he got the hang of it. The footage showed right before 5:30, Ty walked back into the main club area. Someone, wearing a dark shirt and pants, was behind him. The image wasn't great. Jordan could recognize Ty because he knew his general build and swagger. The mannerisms were more identifiable than the facial pattern on the monochrome video. The second man was shorter, thinner. It looked like his skin was slightly darker where it could have been seen from his sleeves pushed up to the elbows, the buttons undone, showing some of his chest, but his face was obscured by a shadow at first. Ty took a few steps. That forced the other man into the unflattering, brighter daytime lights. He put a hand on Ty's arm and made him turn around. Jordan released the dial controller. He recognized the other man as a club regular. Not only a regular, but it was Ari's drug dealer, Ray. Jordan let the feed play back in real time. He watched Ty take an envelope from inside his blazer pocket and hand it to Ray. This is interesting, Jordan thought. What are they up to? Ray looked inside the envelope. It was thick and long. Jordan saw Ray finger the contents. The gesture told him Ray was definitely counting money. But why would Ty pay Ray? If Ray was the drug dealer operating in this club, he should be giving a cut to the business owner to look the other way. The exchange should have been the other way around. Jordan was startled by Ty's voice at the office door. Hey, well, you're sitting in here. You want me to fix you a drink?
Oh, yeah, sure, Jordan replied. A Coke is fine.
A Coke?
Come on, you haven't tried my vodka yet.
Jordan's gaze returned to the screens. He wasn't interested in booze at the moment.
Fine, I really don't care.
You'll care about this. This vodka is my best investment.
The grandeur Ty exuded made the hackles on Jordan's neck stand up.
How so?
I don't have all my money in this club. Once I started making a profit, I squirreled some away waiting for the right opportunity to come along, and now it has.
You found an opportunity in vodka.
Jordan, my man, I sure have, and if you play your cards right, maybe you can get in on some of the action on the ground floor. It's gonna be huge.
Ty expanded his arms outward as if that told Jordan he should be impressed by the magnitude. Jordan paused the footage. After Ty walked away to retrieve the cocktails, Jordan felt his phone in his hand that wasn't on the computer dial. He had been holding it for a while, which was odd for him since he was never the type to be addictively posting. He realized he was afraid that if he put it down, he'd miss a message from Ari. Every time he looked at it after a vibration, he faced another reminder in the form of texted condolences and people asking for information about the memorial plans. The phone's case was black with a rhinestone skull and crossbones pattern. It was a gift from Ari, something he randomly picked up. He gave it to Jordan and said only a pirate could have booty as nice as his. It was so corny, but they laughed. The frozen figures of Ty and Ray on the monitor reclaimed his attention. A feeling of uneasiness crept up Jordan's spine and made his skin tingle. He swiped open the phone, clicked the camera icon, then took a photo of the surveillance monitor with the timestamp on it. He was zipping the footage fast again when Ty put a martini glass of straight chilled vodka down with a bottle next to it. He didn't say a word, but had that expression of, well? He paused in the doorway, waiting for Jordan to volunteer information.
This is my baby, Jord. This right here is the best vodka you will ever taste.
You think so, huh? Jordan took a sip. It was the perfect temperature, cold but not frosty like a margarita. The chill was immediately countered by the smooth burn as he swallowed.
It's good.
Good? It's fucking great. What do you know? You're an artist. This is my business and I'm telling you, it's the finest vodka.
I'm happy for you, Ty. Really.
In all honesty, Jordan didn't care at that moment. At some other time, on some other day, he would have.
not today, not now. All that mattered was how his apartment would be empty when he went home. Jordan picked up the bottle and examined the label. He liked the sketchy, homemade look of it, like someone took a black marker on rough white paper and quickly wrote the details on it. "Is this the design you're keeping?" "Why, you don't like it?" Ty looked a little insulted. "No, no, it's fine, just wondering. Your label is your first communication to your customers, though. You have to be sure what you want to say is, we're casual and young, instead of we're sophisticated. You know what I'm saying?" Jordan explained. "Well, maybe someday you can design me a label. I'm already thinking big. I want to slowly introduce some seasonal flavors in very exclusive limited batches. I'll hire you for that, okay?" Ty grabbed the bottle from Jordan's hand. "What would you do?" "Well, that label..." Jordan flipped his hand since Ty took the bottle. "Looks like you want to market to college kids, which is fine if they have the money, and in the city they probably do. If you want to hang on to that message, then I'd say your limited edition cases should have mock university degrees, where your most exquisite bottle has something looking like a PhD wrapped around it."
"Yeah, yeah, I get it. Like have a master's edition. You can call anything blended a double major."
Ty's other hand stroked the stubble on his jawline. "So, along those lines," Jordan continued, "I say you can keep this style of design, but consider renaming it Bachelor's Brand or something. The words can be played with because they can sound manly and virile like a Playboy, or you can mean the worthless piece of paper from college."
"Oh, I guess I should have come to you first. Luckily, it's not too late. This is a small batch. I'll talk to my partners about rebranding before the New York Spirits Championship. We're entering this. Winning that could mean big things. I already got a guy working on a strategy to get some reviews by influential people in the city. High-end bartenders, owners, bloggers. We don't have much time before really launching it, though. I better call him right away."
"I'd say you better. Freddy's is a good name for the club, but I think you could do more with a brand of vodka that has a hook. It's all about marketing." Jordan picked up the martini glass and took another sip. He wasn't much of a straight vodka guy. He had no problem admitting he preferred a little fruit juice and sugar to cut it down.
"I know all about that. You know that Grey Goose vodka? That guy knew how to sell products. He had the name and didn't even have the product for years. He's American, too. He just knew that Americans would buy more vodka if they could say it was made in France. And it worked, right? I read about Cindy Frank during one of my marketing classes. He sold Grey Goose to Bacardi for $2 billion. Billion with a B.
So you're hoping your vodka is the next Grey Goose.
I'd be dumb to dream small, right?
Guess you have a point. Why vodka? Why not tequila? What are you thinking?
It's about the crops, my partners say. We live in a grain world. I don't care what those gluten-free people say. Wheat. It's hardy and grows in a lot more places than agave.
Well, I'm sorry Ari isn't here to celebrate in your launch. I'm sure he would want to be. Jordan noticed Ty dart his eyes around the room. Ty leaned forward at the waist to see what Jordan had paused on the monitors.
You find anything interesting yet?
Not yet. It's a lot of hours to scour through, like you said.
All right, let me know if you need anything. I got lots of calls to make to change this label.
Yeah, thanks. I really appreciate you letting me do this.
Well, like you said, the cops might not make it a priority. Just a dead fag in an alley to them.
Hopefully they're not all like that. Jordan did not want to face the reality that investigators might not put in the effort Ari deserved. Ty gave a shrug of his shoulder and an eye roll as he backed out of the threshold. The frozen figures reanimated on the screen. Jordan watched the exchange again. It was just an envelope. If Ty didn't want him to see it, he wouldn't have allowed him to review the files. It's not really that suspicious, is it? He zipped the footage in high speed again until it seemed closer to the time when the doors would open. The bartender and GJ were doing their thing. A couple androgynous dancers showed up next, carrying kit bags for their costumes, wigs, and makeup. They reviewed set lists with the DJ before disappearing off camera. When they performed, they balanced and moved on rather small cubes, usually in heels. One dance platform was at the end of the bar, the other was on the opposite wall to the left of the hallway.
The club had a small stage for the occasional band or stand-up comedian when it wasn't being used for performers. Anyone was welcome to hop up there and show off. DJ Mix Max, whose real name was Samantha Carr, had been a decent friend to Jordan since she started working at Freddy's Lounge. Max finished her college degree in Connecticut and set out for the big city hoping to land a nice job with an indie record label. Instead, she found herself at one of the only places that didn't give a shit about her appearance. It was working at night as a cleaning lady for offices. She had two nights off each week, and one was her regular gig at Freddy's, which she loved more than anything. Somehow, her dream of breaking into indie music was harder than she imagined. By 24, she had started to become cynical. Jordan easily made friends, so it wasn't surprising that he got along with Max. The things she loved to do most would put her in the public eye, where she could meet a lot of people. Every week when Max left her booth, the energy was drained from her and she would open up to Jordan if he was around. Jordan was there after closing often for his occasional hookup with Ty, which was hard on Ari, despite his own gratification by Ray, when he bought more pills. Jordan's phone was buzzing nonstop with condolences, but when he stopped to think about people he considered genuine friends, it wasn't always the ones that he saw the most often. He had friends that were far from New York that he'd put his faith in well before the people he partied with. Party friends are a different breed. It's like work friends. You might divulge your life to them, but they aren't necessarily going to line up if you need a kidney. Max and Jordan were tight, real. He knew that if he needed help, he could call her, and she'd do her best, short of losing her job or committing a felony, to be there. It was possible that Max could fill in the details about whatever Ty and Ray were up to the night Ari died. Most of the security footage was boring as hell. Jordan didn't want to replay his birthday celebration. He watched himself dance across the screen, greeting everyone with hugs and kisses, hips grinding endlessly in motion and lights flashing. He hated himself for that. He hated that he was the type of person that predictably wanted a big, huge party and all the attention. He should have been alone at dinner with Ari, then gone for one of the last carriage rides in Central Park before heading home. But now he was a party boy. He was cliche. He was hard abs and a great ass that drew all the gazes on the dance floor. Jordan's usual confidence took a dive. Ari came onto the screen. He walked over to the bar and ordered their cocktails, then walked over to the corner table. Jordan tabbed through the camera views, but that part of the club wasn't visible on any of the cameras. He toggled to the view that overlooked most of the bar. Joe, the bartender, was running herself ragged. She had another person back there with her, colliding once in a while. Jordan didn't know his name, though. The wait was long, but the drinks were usually worth it. They didn't skimp early in the evening. As the night wore on, though, anyone not blitzed out of their mind would realize cocktails were less potent, and more ice cubes were added. The footage finally brought Jordan to the point where Ray left the dance floor. The hidden corner where Ari sat and the door next to his table were in a blind spot. That door is the quickest way to the alley. It didn't directly dump out there. The corridor was about 15 feet long, painted black, and covered in graffiti. A lot of smokers would go out there that way to avoid the congestion of the entrance. On busy nights, there would be a bouncer stationed back there to check for that black light rubber stamp design marked on people's hands. The bouncer wasn't visible either. Jordan made a mental note that it still might be worth talking to him to see if he heard anything. More alerts poured through Jordan's phone. He found a text from Max. Max, I'm so sorry about Ari. Anything I can do? Just name it. Jordan, at Freddy's. Can you meet at my place in 30? Max, see you there. Jordan apologized to Ty for not finishing the vodka. He said he was tipsy enough and wanted to go home, reporting nothing on what he saw on the security files.
You've been listening to Vodka O'Clock Noir by Elizabeth Amber Love from AmberUnmasked.com. Thank you for sponsoring through Patreon.com/AmberUnmasked. Music provided by ASCAP through Free Play Music, composed by David Flavin and Roland Quitzitis.